You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
Well, hello, and welcome again to Riverside's online gathering. My name is Keith, one of the leaders around our church. And today we're continuing on in our sermon series, which we've been going through the book of Hebrews together. Now, last week, Ryan Rader preached on, from Hebrews chapter 11, how we're to pass along faith to others. He had a specific focus on parenting, how parents can pass along faith to children. And now today we're going to get a glimpse of what that pass along faith looks like when it's all grown up. We're going to do that by seeing how the life of Moses played out. So before we read today's text from the scriptures, let's acknowledge that the presence of God is with us today. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and our minds for what it is he has for us. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, thank you for all the people who invested in my life, in the life of the folks in this church, who have passed along faith and have strengthened our faith. And I pray that we would, through your Spirit, through this community, through this body of Christ, through your scriptures, and through the callings you have on each of our lives, that we'd really embrace your calling, we'd grow in faith. I pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're still in Hebrews chapter 11. We're starting in verse 23. Here we go. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So last week, we looked how faith is passed along, right, with a specific focus on parenting. And this week, we see that Moses' parents, they did just that, okay? Now, you can read the whole story in Exodus chapters 1 and 2, but the bottom line is this. Moses' parents only had him for 2 to 4 years, then they had to give him up to be adopted in Egypt. And in fact, Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, Moses became the adopted grandson of the king of Egypt. Moses became royalty, and it was probably the most richest kingdom at that time. He received great status, great education, great money, and access to anything he could possibly want. And yet we're going to see next, he chose to give all that up by faith. Verse 24, by faith, when he had grown up, in other words, Moses had to make this faith thing his own when he grew up. He didn't get to rely on the faith of his parents. That's referenced in verse 23. Instead, when he was all grown up, he had to make his faith personal and active for himself. So by faith, Moses, when he had become grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with God's people rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. So again, if you go back to Exodus, Moses was with his Jewish parents for probably 2 to 4 years max. And the rest of his life, he was an adopted child in the Egyptian royal family, meaning that the bulk of his early years, his early life, when he was raised in Egypt, he had access to the best secular education possible. And that education, by the way, would have been very much opposed to his Jewish monotheistic faith. The Egyptian schools would have been very antagonistic to the Jewish religion that Moses would have been raised on in the early parts of his life. And on top of that, Moses would have been showered with gifts and money and prestige and power. He's the grandson of the king, right? In spite of all those distractions, Moses' faith stayed strong and it stayed focused. So now let me just point something out. In many ways, living here in America, it's somewhat similar to living in Egypt. Just like Egypt was for Moses, America is a very rich country with lots of distractions and lots of temptations that can drive us away from an active, focus faith in God. There's so many ways in this country that try to numb us and distract us from a vibrant faith in Christ. Which is why I think the life of Moses can be such an encouragement. Moses shows us that it's possible to have an active faith in God even when the circumstances are hostile or apathetic or very distracting towards the things of faith. But the key here is that Moses made a choice. In fact, Moses made many choices in his life that impacted his faith. Which reminds me, friends, you're never going to drift. You will never drift into vibrant faith in Christ. You never will. Vibrant faith and active faith is a regular choice we make. In verse 25, we read that the choices that Moses made were very costly and very intentional. Verse 25, Moses, the grandson, the adopted grandson of a king, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. See, friends, faith is fueled and faith is compelled by so many different choices that we make. And Moses made some pretty hard and bold choices when it came to his faith, didn't he? And by the way, I think it's important to point out right here. It was important what Moses said no to. Moses was surrounded with so much wealth and so much opportunity, yet he said no to all of that. Instead, he chose God and God's people rather than, as the scripture says, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Look, sin can feel good for a short period of time, right? I mean, sin feels good for a short, it can have some pleasure. It can be fun for a little bit. It can be enticing, but it doesn't last. It doesn't last. And friends, there is so much temptation that we have these days to bend our faith, to slightly go off course. And Moses had so many opportunities, being in the place that he was, to enjoy the short-term pleasures of sin. But he also realized that these pleasures, they don't last all that long. Yes, they're tempting, but they are so, so fleeting. And look, friends, I'm not going to go into great details here, but I can tell you from personal experience, sin is tempting, but man, it does not. The pleasures do not last. And it always brings along with it consequences that are devastating, Friends, this passage points out that to have an active faith in God, Moses had to say no to some things. No to sin, no to a safe, comfortable life. Again, Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Meaning, Moses prioritized faith over comfort, over safety. And friends, the same is true for you and for me. There are so many potential distractions in our world that can keep us from an active faith in Christ. There's so many opportunities for you and I to drift away from having an active faith in Jesus. We can choose to be numbed and entertained for hours and hours in front of the YouTube videos instead of choosing to spend time in God's Word. We can choose to whip out a piece of plastic and purchase any kind of trinket that we want at the store instead of choosing to be sacrificial and generous towards God and towards caring for the poor. We can choose to share on and on our political views instead of sharing the hope of the gospel of Jesus. And friends, look, I'm not saying YouTube is bad. I'm not saying buying nice things is wrong. I'm not saying having a passionate political position is wrong. I'm not saying that. But the bottom line, I think, is this. So often those kinds of things distract us from an active, vibrant faith allegiance to Jesus. And before Moses did anything positive in his faith that we read about later on, he said no to many other things by faith. By faith, Moses said no to so many distractions that could have pacified his faith or suffocated his faith, his allegiance. But then as Moses said no to these distractions and to these temptations, we then see he's very intentional about what he says yes to. And even specifically more than that, he's intentional about what he looks at. And this is so important, friends. I think this is very important. One of the biggest choices we make in our faith is about choosing what to look at, about what we allow ourselves to see. In fact, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, seeing is mentioned around 9 times. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? What do you see? What can you see? And the conclusion of this amazing section on faith sums it all up by saying this, by fixing our eyes on Jesus. Friends, one of the most important choices that we make in life is what we're going to look at. And that is certainly the case in the life of Moses. If we dig a little deeper into the life of Moses, this is what we read in Exodus chapter 2. One day, after Moses has grown up, He went out to where his own people were, and he watched them at their hard labor. He was looking at the hard labor. He was looking at them. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Let's be honest. Moses, the grandson of the king, he could have chosen to look at anything he wanted, but he chose to go out there and look at the mistreatment of God's people. He had access to all the entertainment and luxury you could ever imagine. And then he chose to look at and to see the mistreatment of people. Friends, faith is a choice to see. Faith is a choice to look. When everything in you wants to look away, that's what it is. I mean, in Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan, it's all about seeing. It's all about seeing. Jesus said, but as a Samaritan, as he traveled, he came to where this beaten up, bloodied man was. And when he saw him, his eyes didn't look away and go on the other side of the road. But when the Good Samaritan saw him, he took pity on him. Friends, faith is a choice to see and not look away. In a little bit more of a pinpointed passage, Jesus said in Matthew 25 this, talking about the judgment day, by the way, "Then the righteous will answer me on judgment. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" Friends, faith is a choice to see and not look away. Which I think begs the question, what are we called to look at these days? What are you called to look at and not ignore, not look away? For some of us, it might be foster kids in our city, to really look at the situation of kids in our foster system these days. And God might call you to welcome one of them into your home, or call you to be a volunteer worker with CASA, to become a child advocate for kids in the system. Or maybe you look around at the broader youth in our city and God's going to call you to mentor some of them with the ministry of ISI, or to volunteer at Camp Rayburn, or to volunteer and invest in our school district. I mean, friends, do you let yourself see the hurt and see the pain and see the brokenness that so many kids in our city experience these days? Or do you just look away, pull up a YouTube video, watch the things you want to see, and then go to bed? Friends, faith is a choice to see and not look away. Maybe God wants you to see an elderly person who's isolated and alone. Will you look at them? Will you give them dignity and acknowledge their humanity and visit them? Will you look at them? Maybe God wants you to look at the state of your marriage if you're married. Instead of distracting yourself with more work and with more entertainment, really take an honest look at your marriage. See how it's doing. Do you let yourself see the struggle of immigrants in this country? Do you let yourself see the struggle of the poor in our neighborhoods? It's really easy to look away. But the thing that really compelled Moses to a great life of faith is that he chose to see. He didn't turn away. He chose to see the oppression and the pain that his fellow Jewish people were living under. Friends, every time I drive here to the Beacon, every time I drive here now, I pass an abortion clinic on Lincoln Way West. It's a quarter of a mile away from where I'm preaching, right here to this video. And every time I drive by that place, my heart sinks. And I think of the loss of life. And I think of the struggles those women making that terrible decision must be going through. And honestly, sometimes I look away. I don't want to look at it. But faith is a choice to see. And friends, this is not just about us individually either. It's also true of us as a people. What do we as a church choose to look at? What do we allow to break our hearts? What do we allow ourselves to see? 10 years ago, we as a church, we saw the needs on the west side of South Bend. And we decided, you know what? Another church building is not going to really help change that. Another church building on the west side is not going to really help address the pain and the opportunity on this side of town. So instead of building a church building, we converted an old bowling alley into a community center. And friends, 10 years later, the activity and the ministry that goes on here at the Beacon, it's amazing. It's amazing. And a lot of that is because what we chose to look at. We chose to allow our hearts to really see. Friends, the same is true for our heart for India. We have seen, I have seen, many of us in the church have gone and seen firsthand the pain there and the opportunity there. And it's driven us for these past 10 years to partner in a very deep way, prayerfully, financially. We've given over a quarter of $1 million to the work there, as well as lots of prayer, lots of time. Because friends, we've chosen to look and to see and to let our hearts be formed. What we as a church choose to look at, what we as a church choose to see, friends, it matters. It matters greatly. If you want to make a difference in the world, if you want to live a life of faith that really matters, be intentional about what you see. And just know, fair warning, seeing makes us vulnerable. Seeing will put you at risk. It's so much easier to look away when you see hardship. It's much easier to look away when you see oppression. It's much easier to look away instead of looking at sin and oppression head on. It's much harder to look at it, to let your heart break over it. It's just hard to look at. So friends, what may God want you to choose to see and not look away from these days? And then Moses, after choosing what to see, he made a bold and intentional choice. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And friends, once you choose by faith to really look at the world the way it is, to look at the pain, the hardship, the oppression, folks far from God, and you choose to look at that, then faith requires another choice. And for Moses, that choice was to go without. Moses chose the downward elevator. Moses chose a downward mobility, if you will, as part of his faith. Friends, real faith, active faith, often feels like the choice of financial insecurity or a choice of risk or the choice of the hard way instead of the easy way. Faith is choosing to be more vulnerable instead of living a safe, comfortable life. Faith is choosing the road less traveled than the easy road. And friends, for you and I, we must all make this choice. And by the way, for Moses, this was a very intentional, calculated choice. Verse 26, Moses regarded disgrace. And by the way, that word regarded, it means accounted for. It means Moses weighed two options. He was very intentional in his decision. He weighed these two options and he intentionally chose disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. It's a strategic move on his part because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses carefully weighed the pros and the cons and he decided, you know what? I'm going to give up everything in this comfortable Egyptian life for the sake of others. Moses decided that the way of God was so much greater than the treasures of Egypt. And it says he knew this because he was looking forward and looking ahead to his reward. By the way, this reminds me of the parable of great price that Jesus talks about, right? Oh, great cost, but oh, the pearl is so worth it. Friends, there's a very real choice in calculation and cost when it comes to living a great life of faith. It just is. As a church, we support two different missionary families whose names we can't put on our website because they minister in the part of the world that where sharing the gospel, sharing the message of Jesus is illegal. It could get them arrested or even worse. And friends, I just think like those folks have intentionally chosen to sacrifice so that others can hear the gospel message of Jesus, so that others will have access to a local church. But I'll tell you what, as I talk to these missionaries of ours, it's interesting. They'll tell you it's not really a sacrifice all that much. Because they've weighed the options and they've chosen for the sake of Christ a way that's much greater value than the treasures of the world. They'll tell you that. They will. They've told me that. Look, I hesitate to share this because I don't want to, I really don't want to put myself in the same category as those two missionary families serving in closed countries to the gospel. And I certainly don't want to put myself in the category of Moses and the sacrifice he made leaving Egypt. But 13 years ago, I left the corporate world. I'll just tell you, I was making a ton more money there. And honestly, life was a lot easier. I left all that to become a pastor. Now, and then 3 years after that, my family moved from the church we were helping to pastor. And I was living in Granger. It was a fairly large, wealthier church. And we left that instead 10 years ago to plant Riverside here on the west side. And that was another pay cut. And look, at times I dream about what it would still be like to work in the corporate world. I'm not going to lie. I think, man, what would it be like to still work there? As sometimes I dream, what would it be like to pastor at a larger, wealthier church with a beautiful church building and more resources? In many ways, it'd be easier than pastoring here. Pastoring here on the west side of South Bend. I'll just tell you, friends, after these 10 to 13 years, I hit the jackpot. I mean, it's been such a privilege of mine to be a pastor here at Riverside. It's been such a privilege of mine to help lead the Beacon. And it's been a privilege of mine to minister in this beautiful, messy, broken part of town. It's been one of the greatest privileges of my life. It has. I've come now to see it as of much greater value than the treasures of this world. As the passage says. Now, again, I'm not saying I'm anything like Moses. By no means am I comparing myself to the missionaries that we support. They are incredible. But friends, I can just tell you from personal experience, the cost, it's been costly, but it's been so worth it. It's been incredible to get to walk alongside God for these past 11 years. And I went and walk alongside you all, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. I wouldn't trade it for the world. And for Moses, his faith was so great because he intentionally chose to prioritize his faith and his calling versus the short-term pleasures of this world. And that choice is driven by his long-term vision. Verse 26, it continues by saying, he was looking ahead to his great reward. Again, looking ahead to a great reward because Egypt offered lots of short-term rewards. Friends, our country, this culture we live in, it offers so many short-term rewards, but we're called to look ahead towards a great reward. And Moses knew that the rewards of faith, while they're longer in nature, longer-term in nature, oh, they're so much greater than what this world offers. Moses' faith was compelled and sustained because he was looking forward. He was looking ahead to a great reward. And then verse 27 continues on by pointing out, again, by the way, of what Moses looked at. It's all over this section of faith. Verse 27, by faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, and he persevered because he saw him who's invisible. Moses chose to look at, Moses chose to see God who is invisible, which is admittedly a very ironic way of describing faith, but it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Looking at the God who's invisible, isn't that a great way of just describing faith? This passage says Moses stayed strong in his faith because his eyes were kept on an invisible God. And as Moses fixed his eyes on this invisible God, by faith, verse 28, by faith then, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Now, there's so much backstory there. I can't go into right now. But ultimately, what this means is this, that Moses, by faith, right, relied on the blood of the Passover lamb for his protection. And of course, I could preach an entire series on that one, right? how you and I must also put our faith and our hope in the Passover lamb as well. Our Passover lamb, Jesus. Friends, the only way to stay strong in faith, the only way to stay strong in faith is to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, our God who died for us, who shed his blood for us on the cross. The only way. And so friends, that's the life and the faith of Moses, which I think just begs us to ask some questions about ourselves, such as, what are you looking at these days? Friends, what are you choosing to look at these days? Do you fix your eyes on Jesus, or do you fix your eyes on the things of this world? Do you look at the potential rewards and the comforts that a job promotion could bring, or do you look at the oppression and the poverty and the pain that exists in our world? What do you look at? What do you choose to see or not see? And for some of us, the life and the faith of Moses should cause us to be a lot more intentional about the choices we make and the things that we pursue. Some of us are probably choosing to enjoy the pleasures of sin for the fleeting moment. And if that's you, I want to invite you, reach out. Reach out to someone. Sin's a sneaky thing. It can creep in and overtake us before we realize what's even going on. Sin is so destructive and it's so damaging. And today's passage says that Moses lived an amazing life of faith because he chose to resist the fleeting pleasures of sin. I just, as a pastor, I wonder how many of us this week are choosing short-term pleasures, the excess of entertainment, substances, whatever, that certainly help numb the pain for the short period, but end up crippling us and minimizing the potential impact we can have by faith long-term. So friends, if you're struggling with junk right now, with sin right now, let someone in. Let your home group leader know. Feel free to let me know. I'd be more than happy to listen and to help out. The bottom line is that Moses turned away from sin and turned towards God. And friends, some of us just need to be encouraged to keep going forward. What we don't understand from reading these six verses about Moses in Hebrews is that he had a long, long, long hard journey, measured in decades, not years, not weeks, not days. I mean, long journey. And friends, each of us will face many hardships and roadblocks along the way. And some of you need to simply be encouraged. Stay the course. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I know you want to look away right now. I know the things in our world are hard to look at. Don't look away. You can persevere. Stay focused. Friends, there are so many ways that we can respond to the faith and life of Moses as fleshed out here in Hebrews chapter 11. I would encourage you, spend some time this week, reopen this passage, relook at it on your own or with some other people, and then meditate on it. Say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to see around? What do you want me to look at these days? And respond and follow him. So, with all that said, we're now going to transition to a time of just together fixing our eyes on God, where we sing songs together. And I know we're separated in this video format, but just know this morning as we sing songs, other people are singing with you from our church. We're singing to the one awesome true God. And we're looking at him together. We're saying, God, you're awesome. Dad, you're wonderful. Our eyes are fixed on you. And as we transition to that time, I want to reread the very last verse on Moses' life. So it points us to Jesus, I think. Verse 28. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle the blood on the doorpost so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. You see, the faith of Moses was greatest when he and the people of God took the blood of a lamb and they were covered by it. And friends, you and I, through faith, are covered by the blood of Jesus. Let us never forget that. All of this is only possible because we have a God that is engaged, a God that looked down and saw a broken world and said, I can't stand it no more. And he came down, he moved in the neighborhood, and he lived among the people, and he then took all of our pain and brokenness sin upon us, and he shed his blood for us. All of this faith stuff is only possible because we have a God like that. Okay? So let's pray, and let's spend some time together worshiping and focusing on him. God, you are so good to look at. You are beautiful. You are majestic. You are holy. You are awesome. You are mighty. You are kind. You are gracious and compassionate. You are slow to anger. You are rich in mercy. And you're near. And you love us and you embrace us. And when we're struggling with sin or we're desiring to look away, you walk alongside us and you care for us and you sustain us by your Spirit. And God, I pray for my friends right now who are weary. I pray for my friends who are desiring to look away. I pray for my friends who are just spent with COVID, spent with the season of our country, spent with the oppression and the division in our country, in the world, God. And I just pray right now that your Spirit would move in a special way among us together. You move in a special way. You would strengthen faith. That we would see you and respond. And you're so good. And we love you. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.